Hi, friends. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Hello APGD, a neighborhood podcast about the Audubon Park Garden District in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Michael Lothrop, and my guests today are Jane Thompson and Tej Braun of A Gift for Teaching at 6501 Magic Way, Orlando 32809, and formerly on Corinne Drive right here in the neighborhood. Be sure to follow A Gift for Teaching on Instagram and visit agiftforteaching.org to volunteer and sign up for their newsletter. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, or if you'd like to be a sponsor, please feel free to message me on Instagram at HelloAPGDPod. Thank you for listening. Support for this episode comes from Neighbor Bread, a small batch sourdough home bakery made with excellence and integrity in Audubon Park. Visit neighborbreadorlando.com and sign up for their newsletter to get the latest on order scheduling and availability. With local delivery or pickup, it's as simple as that. No social media, just bread. This episode is also brought to you by Red Panda Noodle. Made fresh daily, these wheat-based Chinese-style noodles are pulled, sliced, and boiled to order. Find your favorite dish by following them on Facebook and Instagram at Red Panda Noodle. Plus, check out their website, redpandanoodle.com, for the latest on food truck pop-up dates and other news. And with me today is Jane Thompson, president of A Gift for Teaching, and Tej Braun, free store manager of A Gift for Teaching. Jane, Tej, welcome.
We're thrilled to be here.
Thanks for having us, Mike.
Absolutely. Hi, Mike. And happy 25 years of A Gift for Teaching as an organization. What an exciting time. Yeah.
It has been exciting.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear more about the organization, your affiliation. We'll start with the celebration that just happened at Red Light, Red Light. Audubon Park was chosen because that's where it all started, right? A Gift for Teaching was in Orlando Outfitters space on Corinne Drive next to Red Light. So we started kind of the party planning process with the Main Street organization for Audubon Park, and it had to be kind of a big thing, right? And it was. It was such a cool celebration.
Oh my gosh. I know. I still can't stop smiling every time I think about it.
I bet.
It was everything I think many of us really hoped it would be. And, you know, thank you, Mike. You were the one who really opened that door. Mm. And you and Gabby thought the idea that we had was really cool. We wanted to return to where it all began. It just made the whole party so much more meaningful for everyone who was there.
Yeah, it was a perfect night for it. Like, the weather cooperated. Chef Jess Tantalo's food was amazing.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Right?
Gosh,
what a gift to the Central Florida community she is. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It was the whole thing was a blast. It was just like a huge honor just to be a little part of that, for sure.
Oh, big part of it. I mean, you know, the whole fact that we all knew Tej had worked at Red Light, Red Light just brought a whole nother level of why this had to be. He's been on our team almost 3 years now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what we did without you before.
I don't know what you did without me either. I mean, you must have done something because you made it 22 years before
I started.
But I don't know what I did before.
Everything's better with Tej, though. That's
right.
That's what everybody says. And before I forget, when you were at Red Light as a bartender and a manager, there was something called Tej Me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a good friend of ours actually coined that. Uh-huh. Jason Seifer, who
R.I.P.
R.I.P., one of the most wonderful people I've ever known.
Truly.
Just started, I don't think he mentioned it to me when he created it. He just started saying, Tej Me, and I don't remember the first time I heard that, to be honest. But it just meant he didn't know what he wanted to drink, but he knew that whatever I poured him would be good. and he never sent one back, so I think I kept him happy.
Yes, yes. I just I always think of that when I see you, and it's really special. It's just kind of one of those things, you know.
It'd be funny if we could get that to carry over to Gift for Teaching. The teachers could just say "Teach me," and I have pencils in my pocket or something. And just...
A gift for teaching.
Yeah, a gift for teaching.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
We did it.
Yeah. I love it.
If nothing else comes out of this podcast, at least, you know, we did that.
A gift for teaching. That's funny because we've all had fun with the gift for teaching name over the years. At one point, we joked and made signs like maybe it should be a gift for puppies or maybe it should be, you know, anything you want.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So what was super fun about our 25th being back where it all began was, of course, having our founder, Gary, and his wife, Teresa, join us. They were, you know, they poured their hearts and souls along with their community of friends and family to really get a gift for teaching off the ground. And I just have to tell you this funny little story, and I hope this will come across right. But, you know, when Gary, when I first told him our idea that we were going to go to Red Light, like he was just, oh my God. And I was telling him about how much Audubon Park has just flourished as just one of the best communities in our city. And he's like, oh my gosh. He's like, you know, that's incredible. He's like, that was one of the few places we could afford when we were looking to open a space. And, you know, it didn't have great parking. That's why we ended up having to move. And he's, you know, he's been aware as they've come back and forth a little bit over the years how much it's changed. But
1998 was a very different time,
it
right?
It was.
Yeah.
It's hard to think of even what was in that plaza during that time, like when it all began.
Well, of course, so the diner was on the end.
So Juniors had still been there?
Yeah, it might have been Rogers at
Rogers,
the time.
Rogers, yeah. Oh, okay. The air conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Company, that was still going, where Red Light is now.
Yes, which was a complete mystery to us. We didn't really know what went on in that space.
You know, there was like a car parked in the space with a bunch of papers and things. And I think there was like a desk with like a revolver in the drawer or something. Is that right?
Yeah, I didn't really go in at that time. But I know when Brent Richard scouted it for Red Light, it was still kind of just being used as a warehouse. It wasn't functioning by that point. That was much later than 1998, but so it had the same sign but wasn't operating by then, but that was still much later.
It was just kind of left, right? It was just you didn't have anybody parking there for that, so that was probably helpful for a gift for teaching at the time,
right? And a gift for teaching also had the little space that's immediately next to Orlando Outfitters right now. I'm not sure what's... Is that where Foreigner is now?
Yes, I believe so.
So we had that space too. Yeah.
You just had this whole compound, right? But it was so much smaller than what you're working with now, right?
That's right.
On
Magic Way, where all the magic happens.
Yeah.
Working with the space that size, I can't even imagine if we had to scale back down to something like that. I would go crazy.
So I joined a gift for teaching in 2004. It's actually 20 years this month.
Wow, congratulations.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. And I really had kind of left the sort of nonprofit development world for a while. I just needed a break. And I had started a company with a friend of mine called Red Door Properties. We were buying and remodeling and selling houses. And that, you know, it was, the market was starting to change a lot just before that. And I had friends who served on the board for a gift for teaching. And I kept hearing about how cool this guy, Gary Landworth, was and what an amazing concept this was and how much need there was in the public school system, which was pretty foreign to me. I mean, I grew up in Canada. I went to, you know, Catholic, mostly private schools. I mean, that, yes, there were families and kids in need, but just what I learned and encountered as I got to know A Gift for Teaching, I couldn't fathom what was going on in this community. And now I know it's going on everywhere in the country. But I was approached. They needed a development director. They had launched a capital campaign just because they knew they needed to get out of Corinne Drive. And we were looking for a new space. We didn't know yet if it was going to be purchasing and retrofitting a building, building something. We were just sort of casting about. And one of our board members at the time said, you know, we should talk to Orange County Public School District because they are already letting us use their warehouse space over on Magic Way when we had tractor trailers that wanted to drop off, and they would give us some temporary space in their massive warehouse. We were serving their teachers and their students. Mm-hmm. And he said, maybe we should ask them if they've got any space. And that's what led to a pretty amazing opportunity, and one of the reasons that A Gift for Teaching was able to just scale so quickly when we left Corinne, because they signed a 25-year rent-free lease with us.
Wow.
For 25,000 square feet of space, which that became our capital campaign. It was just a warehouse, so we had to raise the funds to build it out. And just to give you a sense of how quickly the community seemed to grasp what our mission was trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And because we have a very charismatic, visionary founder who was so focused on trying to build this, the community came together and said, all right, one of the big banks said, we'll go ahead and advance you a loan. A big foundation in town secured the loan. So our capital campaign started. We were moved into the building 9 months later. Still people say, I've never seen anything happen that fast.
Wow.
And
what a time to join the organization.
Yeah.
It's like the next chapter, but also kind of a new beginning, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Wow.
So it'll be 20 years this November that we opened on Magic Way.
Yeah.
And it's funny, 20 years later, I know that I field a lot of misconceptions, even often from our teachers that are visiting us, that they think that we are a program of OCPS. And we always iterate, we obviously work very closely with them and we're very grateful to them. But we're, you know, an independent nonprofit. We're not getting tax money from OCPS or anything like that.
Completely separate from the public school system, right?
Completely.
Yeah. Yeah. It fills in the gap that is missing with funding. And that's where we get into the story, right?
It's social entrepreneurship at its epic best.
Yeah.
That's the way I always like to think of it. And I think they see that. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, here we are 25 years later. So that I think you might have heard me mention this the night of our celebration. That first year, Gift for Teaching was open. They were only able to serve 30 Orange County Title I schools. And they gave out $300,000 worth of school supplies, and they were blown away. And most of it was just, you know, repurposed, gently used things. It took a while for us to get to the point now where we have such a vast array of things. I mean, we were giving teachers air purifiers earlier this month.
Yeah, and it was a big hit.
It was
they went faster
for their
than
classrooms.
Yeah,
you know?
That's very needed.
The scale of things that we're able to take in and repurpose back into the community to support education, to support these teachers and all of their students. And it's not, it's all about making sure these students have the things they need to be successful and feel like, okay, I've got what I need to, I'm going to try and learn. But the morale, everything about being a teacher these days is so challenging. So
it's always been one of the hardest jobs out there, but the challenges faced today are different from the challenges of even 5 years ago. Some of them.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are ongoing, obviously, funding being one of them, and a gift for teaching fills that requirement of finding these school supplies for the children. I mean, pencils, art supplies, paper, all of the things that people maybe don't realize that just it has to come from somewhere.
Right.
And this is that somewhere where the teachers can come and pick up what they need, because a lot of times they were paying out of pocket. I have a good friend of mine, Melissa. We used to play in a band together, and she's a public school teacher. And she knew all about Gift for Teaching when it was here in Audubon Park, and she just spoke so highly of it because it was so helpful. And she was able to get things rather than paying out of pocket, because she absolutely was. And it's not like teachers make enough money to do that sort of thing. They should definitely make more. But these are, you know, one problem at a time, and this is something that's tackleable. So, tackleable. Yeah,
tackleable. I like it. Huh?
Tackleable. That's right. I think when Gary, you know, as he shared, was introduced to what Cincinnati was doing to launch the very first free store in the country, and just the recognition that there was so many more, you know, school budgets were being slashed in the 90s, funding. I love how everyone talks about how every politician will say that education is, you know, the foundation for success. It's what's most important in this country. And they refuse.
They are correct, but.
They refuse to invest in it ever.
Uh-huh.
And you know, the whole idea that you could become a teacher, but then you're confronted with kids showing up with nothing.
Yeah.
The realization, as Gary got deeper and deeper into it and talking to his own friends here who were teachers, kids who show up and have never held a crayon, have no books in their homes. I mean, it was just, and you heard him speak about it, and I think it was the same kind of response I was having as I realized, oh, I can totally get behind driving our community support and building it. This is just crucial.
Yeah.
But, you know, he talked about how his own father, being a Holocaust survivor, taken when he was in sixth grade, you know, never had the formal kind of education that he was so determined to give his own children. Mm. And so, you know, I really wanted for nothing as a child, neither did he. And so then you come and you see this and you can't believe it. The other, I think, thing that's so fascinating about how Gary was able to just leverage the community so quickly was because his father had started another nonprofit here, Give Kids the World, Gary had also become involved at some point, I think, as some sort of CFO or something, or chief operating officer. But he knew how much the corporate community was prepared to engage, and he knew that they would probably want to give stuff. And you heard him. Yeah, they gave us a lot of stuff at first. Took a while for the money to start.
Right, which is required.
Yeah. Which is required.
You have to pay staff.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people in the community who don't have the means to become a giant funder, the supplies that we still get from the community is fundamental to how we operate day to day. We would not be able to do that with just the money we receive alone. And that's no small thing either. And teachers end up being some of our biggest donors, because a lot of times when they retire and they are cleaning out their space, and we'll see things that we gave out and it's coming back to us. And that's, you know, that's great. It's full circle. And now it's going to go to another teacher and another student.
Wow.
Or just, you know, even not teachers retiring, but just spring cleaning before the summer or changing classrooms. Yeah. So it's wonderful.
Anybody that has a surplus of usable items, even electronics, I understand.
Yes. We work with a company that is, they're either e-cycling or they're refurbing and reselling. And then we get a portion of those earnings that they're generating. So we were getting really bogged down in the early days with computers and things coming to us.
And hard to know what to do with the onesie twosies, I'm sure.
Yeah, and you know, the school district, like any business, has we're very selective about when we have things to offer that can be specifically for teachers or for their students to take home and use at home. The school district doesn't want teachers bringing in outside equipment and computers. So,
that makes sense.
But it's just all part of how anyone who's going to be working with us and wants to donate any kind of product, it's going to be repurposed one way or another to support the mission and to support our schools and teachers and students. You know, it's funny, Tej, talking about the teachers. So I always tell the team, we have our resource engine that's got to always be turning. It's product, it's volunteers, it's human, it's manpower.
Sure.
And it's funds. And those are the three things. But we are a very, very mean, lean, awesome team. There's 13 and a half of us. We're on track to distribute about $12 million worth of product this year, having hosted almost 20,000 teacher shopping visits through our...
Wow.
So that is the power of volunteers.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I understand that the milestone was reached, almost 170 million raised and donated to teachers and students, right?
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Yeah. And I love this. So we have this report card that has maybe 7 or 8 different metrics that we've been tracking since day one, like number of pencils we've given away, number of books, the number of times teachers have shopped, which is now, it's getting close to 400,000 times.
Yeah. I should have grabbed a picture of that
before I left. And I like to translate that to think that if 10, 15, 20 students somehow got something from every single time one of those teachers shopped with us. That's when you really start to grasp the reach of a gift for teaching in this community. And we've helped mentor other communities who are trying to start something similar. We're part of a network, two networks now, right?
Yeah.
Kids in Need Foundation is based in Minneapolis. They really go out and work with the corporate community, manufacturers, retailers, distributors, to source a lot of product that is then shared through a network of 40 different free stores around the country. None of us, we're all called different things, mm-hmm. but we all have the same mission.
Yeah.
That's only 40. I mean, I think every community could use a gift for teaching.
Yeah.
So
the need in this country would be 4,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this is just kind of getting started in a way, right? I mean,
well,
and emulating kind of what other cities are doing.
There's very few in that network that have been around longer. I mean, there's a couple, but I don't think there are many that have been around longer than us. So some of them much, much newer.
Yeah.
Like within the last few years.
So, you know, when you're part of a small network, we meet in person once a year. We have monthly webinars where someone will share best practices related to something. And Gary talked about how when he met Shan Carter in Cincinnati, she sent him home with the playbook for this is what we've done. Mm-hmm. And that is the spirit of what we've tried to do continuously. And, you know, it's funny over the years. I mean, we were able to grow as quickly as we were because we didn't even have to figure out this is how you set up a back to school drive or whatever.
You had a good head start.
We had a good head start.
Just based on templates and playbook.
Funny, as we started to really, you know, we were among the first to dip our toes into social media back in 2008. And we'd come up with all of these different, you know, strategies. And I was getting asked by other free stores around the country, would we share? And I had a few of my team members who were like, well, that's not fair. We came up with this. And I was like, you know what? Why would we want to hold back someone in another community who's going to be able to do what we've been able to do here in Central Florida?
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well,
and a lot of nonprofits have sort of taken on a corporate mindset in terms of, running things efficiently, and there's places where that's appropriate. But in terms of competition, if you're, no one is taking business away from us. That's We're right. here to serve the teachers of Orange County. I want the teachers of Kansas City served just as thoroughly mm-hmm. as we are doing right. that here.
Yeah.
I picked Kansas City off the top of my head. I have no idea.
It's a good one.
I don't yeah. know of something
They're
going on in Kansas City.
They're trying to get one off the ground. They
oh,
were
that's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good yeah. for Kansas City. I hope that works out well for them.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Let's go Kansas City. And both of the Kansas cities.
Both of them.
Let me ask you, Jane, did A Gift for Teaching ever have a MySpace page? Did your experiments with social media go that far back?
Possibly.
Yeah. It's well, probably still there. Then, if you
probably. Yeah. Somewhere. No, it's all still there. Yeah.
We should look into that. Uh-huh.
That
I, but
fun.
Here's what I do remember. And Gary made a lot of, I just remember when he first started. So everything was black and red. And so there was no even yellow in the pencil and Pencil Boy because it was cheaper. You were paying for one color printing. If
oh yeah, that's a way to save some money
right,
and
right.
like make put the money where you know it actually
right.
furthers the cause, right?
Yeah, so it was really fun when it was like, okay, if I'm coming in here, we're gonna get a little more bright.
I think the yellow has been an appropriate yeah. expense.
I think we've
yeah, it's yeah the marketing the website is beautiful. It's very informative. agiftforteaching.org.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually find some of those metrics too of like how many of each of the things. And it's just so impressive what your organization does. And it's exciting that it all kind of started in this neighborhood.
It started yeah. here in
yeah.
the heart of Audubon Park.
Yeah, it took the low rent to for it to start here specifically, mm-hmm. which is kind of an interesting thing. I mean, it's one of the things that we're missing, unfortunately, is the barriers to entry. I think for yeah. some entrepreneurs, it's the nature of things, though, right?
Right?
You have a successful area, and these early adopters and people that have gotten in and kind of raised the whole thing and made it better. And I understand at Orlando Outfitters, some of the art that was on the walls, the murals is still there, like kind of in their back room.
Yes.
That's cool.
It's very cool.
That was a blast to see. It's like, you yeah. know, Rome still has ancient yeah. structures from.
It's like cave paintings.
Yeah,
right?
You know,
it's
so.
Just,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
one of those moments where all of time seems sort of
right.
collided into one
and
moment.
It's just so wild. The, you know, the pictures we still have of Gary and Teresa and the first employee he hired, Susan and her husband, Matt, and some of our board members in there painting those, you know,
wow.
crayon pillars that are still all over in the back. And TJ was so gracious to let us in there. And we filmed a really cool little video that we've been sharing.
You can find it on the Instagrams.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because on the utility box or whatever, there's a sticker of A Gift for Teaching from the original.
And he could have painted over that, but he did not.
Yeah,
right?
That's, you know, that's wonderful.
That's pretty
that
special.
He left all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if that was just, you know, what's, I don't know how much of that was he liked it or how much was,
well, it's
you the, know, it's the back room and doesn't require
yeah, it's
it,
their but, stock room and they're like, yeah. they've got a, it's where they stage and photograph things for their website. But yeah, no, it was very fun for Gary to meet TJ and vice versa. So,
I bet.
Yeah.
TJ seems like a really great guy. I'd love to have him on the podcast. I've talked
yeah.
to him about it. And what a cool store, too.
I
just
mean,
like
yeah.
these custom fly fishing and outdoors, like anything outdoors. And it's just one of the few independent retailers that you'll find doing that sort of
right.
work.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah. I mean, what a niche market, and
right.
clearly I they do so much online business. It's
yeah.
crazy.
They do excellent work there. I have some Fisher friends that talk about like how great his stuff
yeah.
is. So
yeah,
oh, that's
cool.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, you know, it's hard to like just cast your mind back to what was happening. One of the main really big drivers of us having knowing we were going to have to move on, the rent was going to go way up. The space we had outgrown what we really needed.
Yeah.
But Baldwin Park was just breaking ground. Mm. I mean, the naval training base was shutting down and being, you know.
Yeah.
Look how different this is now, 20 years later.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
Right.
All of the changes.
How long have you lived in Audubon?
Since 2002. So
yeah.
The deal had been made for Baldwin Park to go in. And then, like, the Navy base had shut down, I don't know, over a decade previous, and it was just sitting there.
Yeah.
I think maybe only some of the land was being used. So it sat dormant, and then they finally agreed, you know, had an agreement with the city and cleaned it up, did the whole instant neighborhood thing, and it's beautiful over there. Mm-hmm. And it's been great for Audubon Park for sure. You know, we have a lot of customers from the area coming over here to the retail shops and the restaurants and things.
Yeah.
So
yeah, for sure.
It all works together, doesn't it?
Oh, it's great. I mean, I understand. Congratulations. Recent congratulations. Wasn't Audubon Park chosen as one of the best neighborhoods to live in America?
Isn't that wild?
Oh,
and
wow.
It's based
so
on,
cool.
Yeah, it's based on
Congrats.
Actually the schools.
Yes.
So it was a national survey on quality of life based on the school system. We're number 22, which is huge. I mean, out of the entire nation, like every neighborhood, every school system. So yeah, it's kind of interesting when you do get recognized in those ways. I mean, Audubon Park School is not that old, and
Right. They
really have done such a tremendous job with staffing, with planning, with, I mean, they even have their own nonprofit for fundraising, you know, for activities and and events there. And I talked to Principal Hanahan before he got promoted. Mm-hmm. He got promoted like a couple months, I think, after he was on the podcast. I know people were very sad to see him go, but I mean, when A Gift for Teaching was here, I don't know if Audubon Park School was even in service at that time.
It was.
It was?
It was still
okay.
Just the elementary.
It was the very small.
Very, very small.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I remember the teachers we saw the most of were from Fern Creek, so super close by, right? But, you know, I mean, Glen Ridge and Audubon, so here cut to, we move to this big space. And
how many square feet, roughly?
Well, now we're up to 30,000 square feet.
Wow.
The warehouse alone is 20,000. And all the other sort of operating space, the biggest part being the free store itself, which is close to 5,000 square feet.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Just looking
I'll take Jane's word for it.
Yeah, we'll fact check it later.
Yeah, we'll fact check it later.
The corrections,
But it's I remember the first time seeing it when I came into, they gave me an initial interview on Zoom. Yeah, because we were still pretty
pandemicking,
pretty deep into pandemic and COVID protections. But
yeah,
then when I came in to see it, I was blown away. Very excited to be. I'm going to be managing. I already felt like I had a good chance of getting the job. So,
I mean, it was like we knew as soon as we met him, okay, we'll get him in here as a formality. And
everything's better with Teach.
That's right.
Well,
so how did you find A Gift for Teaching, or how did it find you?
I was a teacher, and I was a teacher through a different nonprofit. So I wasn't actually eligible to benefit from A Gift for Teaching myself, and wasn't aware of it. But a former coworker of mine named Laura Fisher was working for A Gift for Teaching, and she was moving on. She was going back to teaching. So
in Kansas
So you
City.
Just swapped places, basically.
Yeah, we kind of did.
She was here at first as a teacher.
Yeah, she taught here for a school year before she went back to Kansas City. But I saw that there was a job posting on the Edith Bush website. They have
a job board,
job board, and I was looking for a change, and it just worked out really well.
Wow.
Good timing and everything.
Okay, so this is my perspective of how.
I love your version of the story.
Yeah.
Let's hear this.
So yes, Laura was in the role that Teej now has, and also wonderful. And this is part of what I love about A Gift for Teaching, and. You know you're doing something right when, as people are leaving, they are so determined to help you find the right person to come in behind them, too.
Yeah.
And so she had told me, she's like, oh my God, when I was at Adult Literacy League, Teach worked with us. He was, you know, an ESOL teacher. He's fantastic. I also know Gina Solomon, the executive director at Adult Literacy League as well, who also reached out when the, you know, Teej had applied. She reached out and she's like, just grab him.
Yeah.
He would be so perfect for you, oh. You know. So, it's we're very fortunate that way. We've a lot of some of our, I mean, we have a lot of longevity on our team.
Yeah, we do. And I think some of the people that have come on since me, I feel like have similar trajectories. Someone we worked with or someone we knew recommended them, said, you're going to be glad you did. And I mean, I think we have one of the best teams anywhere I've ever worked with. It's fantastic.
I believe it. Yeah. I mean, what a mission, what a cause, right? It's envisions a future where every Central Florida student has the tools and experiences to succeed. You know, it talks, the website talks about how you get there and the different opportunities. Tell me kind of how the process, I know some of the schools, the teachers themselves can come once a month and shop in the free store, and other schools who are kind of, I think, better funded, they have two representatives from the school that can come once a month and shop for the teachers that way.
And at double the limit too. So since they're only sending two for the whole school, we do allow those teachers take extra.
Yeah.
With the understanding that they're sharing that. But that way every OCPS school gets to participate one way or the other. And every OCPS teacher can benefit in one capacity or another. And we even work with some charter schools right now.
Yeah.
Head Start program in Orlando is able to participate too.
That's so wonderful. Yeah, just making it easy and accessible. I mean, nobody knows better than the teachers themselves, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we did something fun on Thursday this week. The superintendent of Orange County, Dr. Maria Vasquez, she came out with her media team to shadow a teacher shopping in the store.
Oh,
they were doing a piece on it. So, I'll send you, it's going to come out soon.
Awesome.
And we sort of handpicked the teacher. She's an elementary school teacher she's just a rock star and is very dedicated to her kids in classroom. And I knew they would have a lot of fun together.
Yeah. That's so cool. Seemed like it was great.
Yeah, it was. And this will just blow your mind, but we also talk about the average value of what a teacher can typically leave with, which is, you know, anywhere from $400 to $500 a month, maybe.
Well, it's a little on the low side now, Jane, to be honest with you.
Wow.
This is in the free store. I think when you're looking at some of our other programs,
it's
probably more like that. But if I'm getting to an average shop is $500, one of my top goals is to get that up a little closer to $600.
Yeah. Nice.
And then when we had the air purifiers going out, it was well over $700. But that was a little bit of an outlier. Yeah.
So you know, we have to put a limit on everything that's out in the store. But the deal is that any teacher who shows up can take the limit of absolutely everything that's in the store that day.
Yeah.
So it just, that's, you know, some teachers, they're really good. They tend to take what they really need.
Mm-hmm.
So when the superintendent shopped with Ms. Ballinger the other day, when she, you know, showing her so our app has been life-changing for our teachers as well. They book their appointments on the app. They come in, they scan everything. It's brilliant.
Nice.
But when they got up to checkout, she said to the superintendent, now here's the best part. They're going to tell me how much I saved today.
Mm.
It was $901.
Wow.
Because as she was going around, she took all the hygiene items and socks and t-shirts. She took the art supplies because she could give those to the school nurse. She could give those to the art teacher. She could, you know, I mean, why not? You're there.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that spirit that the teachers have for helping one another out too.
I tell them all the time, they'll say, I only took what I know I absolutely need. And I said, that's not necessary.
Yeah.
You can take things that, you know, you probably have teachers at your school that haven't come here and you can give them this to them. Tell them, like, I got this and you can get more.
Yeah.
And it is free. That's not free, but that's right. just free, period.
No catches, no strings.
No.
This is a gift for teaching.
That's exactly. right. It's a gift. And
what a good name. That really does describe it.
It's not a misnomer, Mike. It's not a misnomer.
Finally, something that's not.
It's a good name. And Gary was very smart because we're always first. You know, if we go to a grant, celebration.
You don't want to read a whole list, but at least you've gotten that one in there, right?
Yeah. So we'll be the first ones called up. Yeah.
Nice.
A gift for TJ. Yay. It's great. And so there are approximately 12,000 teachers in Orange County right now that are eligible to shop with us. That's either as reps or they're, unfortunately, about 70% of all the schools in Orange County are what we consider underserved or 60% and higher free and reduced lunch. Mm. And we probably have about 40% of them that will shop with us in one way, shape, or form, whether they're coming into the store, placing an online order for pickup, or whether they're visiting Pencil Boy Express as it pops up around the county on a weekly basis.
Which is a mobile shop.
It's a mobile shop. It's
How
really,
cool.
really, really cool. Mm. And, you know, Orange County is 1,000 square miles. I mean, Zellwood is part of Orange County, Zellwood Elementary School. Can you imagine driving from Zellwood to our store?
No.
Or Popka.
Or Popka.
Right. Elementary. I mean,
so that's very helpful being able to go to them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But I do say that the teachers that take the time to, whether it's stop at Pencil Boy Express on their way home from somewhere or especially drive out to Magic Way, I think they are the creme de la creme. They're the best. They've been teaching all day. They come on their own time.
Yeah.
And they come because they care about their kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is dedication. I mean, it takes that level of dedication to be a teacher in general because mm-hmm. a lot of people don't realize the hours that go into it. It's not just the classroom hours. That's just the beginning.
Yeah.
It's the planning hours. It's the grading hours. It's all of it. And just the stress level of trying to be there with all the different personalities and caring about the kids and making them feel cared about and teaching them. It's like you have to have every single skill set of a highly effective human, right? This mm-hmm. just high performer in order to just do this job, right? So, yeah. Yeah. It's such a huge thing what you're doing, but also just as a society, it just feels like this is like just the beginning, right? And I mean, I know that people can donate, whether it is funds, whether it is new supplies, gently used supplies. There's opportunity for in-kind donation. There's volunteer opportunities, all these ways that people can get involved. Tell me about some of those things.
Well, you covered the board pretty well there, Mike.
Did I miss anything?
You know, we love it if people reshare our social media posts too, but you nailed the big ones. Volunteering, we've touched on. I think all nonprofits need volunteers to a certain degree, but our need for volunteers is probably a little bit greater than the average because we need to restock the store. Free store in the morning. And then
sounds kind of fun. Yeah. 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 I mean, school supplies, we just don't, you know, we have an association, especially with our childhood, like that back to school, like mm-hmm. filling your backpack and mm-hmm. getting all the things that the smells,
smell
right?
The crayons.
Yeah.
We could just like put the boxes out uh-huh. and let the teachers just take them out of the boxes. But we really do like to offer, we make it look very much like a nice retail store you'd want to go into. Mm-hmm. So we have pegboards that have the crayons hanging there. So there's easy access to those things. We like to lay it out all nice and neat and make it as pretty as possible.
It makes sense.
And we couldn't do that without volunteers. It just wouldn't be possible. Yeah. Then the volunteers rotate out. With the exception of a few who like to be there all day long. We don't usually ask volunteers to be there all day long.
That's
but we have
cool.
some very dedicated volunteers who really commit.
Retired educators.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then we have volunteers come in and help the teachers while they're shopping. We check them out. You know, obviously no money's exchanged, but we still keep track of what goes in and out for inventory. So mm-hmm. we check them in, we check them out. We have teachers with special needs. So a volunteer will help walk along with them and put things in their cart for them, anything that they need, or just help them load their car if the bags end up being really heavy, which is also, of course, a possibility because we want them to fill those bags up.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I think, Teej has, as you can well imagine, a very loyal core group of, we call them family volunteers. They, they're retirees, they're retired educators. They are coming in and he's got his go-to people. He's got someone who sorts our books and sets up our book section for us loyally, Vicky. Vicky Brown. She's awesome. I think something that we have going for us is we also, because of our size and because of how much we have to offer, we have a lot of big corporate groups that are coming in on a, several times a week. Because we can, they can bring a team of 40 or 50 volunteers and have an impact all at once and an experience, a great experience with our team. And
it's team building, right?
Yes,
while they're also
right.
giving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And that has a lot to do with just so much of what we do. I mean, in the corporate world, it's all about, corporate social responsibility. They're not wanting to buy tickets to galas anymore and, trying to fill tables and sending people to these events where everyone they've sent can't afford to buy anything anyway. They're just we got away from that just before the pandemic. So our big event now is a huge mission impact event we do in June called the Great Big Backpack Build. Mm-hmm. And so we will be building more than 20,000 backpacks on June 6th with about 400 of our best corporate friends and partners.
That's a lot
probably
of backpacks.
And what we do with those is they each of our sort of highest need schools get deliveries of backpacks to have on site before school starts.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool.
It's a great way to introduce ourselves to new teachers, but also teachers who may have come once or twice and it slipped their mind or just weren't aware of us for whatever reason.
They're kind of busy. Those,
that
group
are.
Of people are kind of busy from what I understand.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
A lot of them work during the summer.
Yeah.
Because for obvious
reasons. Yeah. So. Can I tell you about another something that we started last year as a pilot? So one of the latest, challenges for public schools, as everybody knows, that attracting people to get their education degrees is a challenge.
Yes.
That's dropping off like crazy.
Right.
So the retention, the just trying to find teachers has just become huge.
Yeah.
So we started a program called the New Teacher Launch Box.
Mm.
And it's a subscription program. It's for 500 first year teachers working in, that's what we have the funding for.
Yeah.
And that's been really cool because teachers who are just starting, I mean, some of them are just like 2 months in saying, ugh, I can't do this. I didn't know I'd have to spend all my money.
Yeah.
I think we had an attrition rate in the first year of about 25% of the teachers. By the end of the first year, they were no longer at their school.
So one in four teachers was quitting after their first year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we don't know if they quit, if they moved, went to a different school.
Gotcha.
Like
they were leaving our
OCPS. Wow. So But we've been trying to measure, you know, how much they feel that what we've been able to do, just in general, we ask our teachers, you know, how does the fact that you're getting support through a gift for teaching affect your decision to remain in education?
Yeah.
Not all of them say so, but many of them do.
I'm sure it's helpful. I mean, it's one, just one more thing that gives people hope, you know, that there are people that are willing to back the educators and support them in a way that they were not previously supported. And
right.
I think it can make some of them feel that they're not alone. I think it's easy to feel like, I've got to impress these parents. I've got to make sure these kids are actually learning something.
Yeah,
and feeling good about coming to school, but I also have to impress these administrators, and I'm this person in this, and there's all these spokes of people I have to answer to, and I have to do things for, and to be someone that is on their side, a partner with them,
yeah,
and making all that happen, I think can definitely make teachers feel like they're not doing all this by themselves, because I think it's easy to start to feel that way.
And I think that's what they see when they come in. They can see, oh my gosh, this community. I mean, here's stuff from Universal and from Disney and from, you know, and think about the number of kids in their classrooms, despite living right here in Central Florida, have never been inside a theme park. They've never gone to a Magic Game. They've never. So that there are things you'll see that are traditional. Oh yeah, these are specific learning tools. And then you'll see Star Wars tiki mugs and
Star Wars tiki mugs that have been really popular.
Yeah, so Enemy Inc., which is, I think you know.
Oh yeah, Charlie lives in the neighborhood.
Brad.
Yeah.
So we started a relationship with them just a little pre-COVID, I think. Well, actually, no, it was probably during COVID. And it all stemmed from a massive Star Wars con or whatever you call them that was supposed to happen.
Oh, yeah.
That got canceled.
Yes.
And because they had produced so much product, and I heard a story that George Lucas didn't want it just like it was, they were trying to figure out what are we going to do with all of this. And Brad found us and reached out to our VP of operations.
Wow.
And they started a relationship. And so we get all this super cool stuff from them.
It's really nice.
It's great. And, you know, think about what, so teachers have treasure boxes or, you know, but it's so much more like they have
something that kids actually want, right? Well, like anything is. Star Wars.
Kids
like,
will show up on time. They'll read extra books. They'll, there are teachers that tell us the wildest stories. Like, I try and get things all year long so I can make sure every one of my children has something they can take home as a gift at Christmas time to give to someone in their family. I mean, it's like, it's stuff you would never think
of.
That's
perspective giving, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we even do a big toy section right in the middle of the free store. We kind of put collection, you know, when we see things that are cool. We also have a really special program called Grant a Wish that Jane could tell you more about. But we kind of always are collecting things for that. And then at the end of November, kind of look at all the toys and all the cool holiday things that we got, set some aside, figure out how much we'll need for Grant a Wish, set some aside for that. And then the rest just goes right in the free store. And it's very popular. December ends up being a shorter month for us for obvious reasons for the holiday break. But we get a lot of teachers in those few days.
Yeah. And that's what they're coming to get. They want to make sure that they're trying to take care of their kids' extended families somehow. It's just incredible. Okay, so quickly, if we have time, Grant a Wish.
Of course,
So Grant a Wish started probably a dozen years ago or so, maybe even a little longer. And one of our board members who, you know, said, we do so much for teachers here in the store. What could we do for some of the students? And so Grant a Wish was designed where we give teachers starting, I think, in October. They will be given a chance to nominate a student of theirs who they believe is really deserving of having a shopping spree with their family in December.
Wow.
And the thing we talk about is, you know, what, you know, we ask teachers to tell us, why are they nominating children? And it's usually because they come from exceptionally horrible personal situations happening in their lives. Despite that, they are succeeding, maybe academically, maybe they're, you know, mentoring other, there's just usually something that stands out about a particular child. And the stories over the years, so we then have to select, we have a selection committee that reads through these nominations. Some years we get 100, some years we get 50. And we narrow it down to select one elementary student, middle, and high school student.
That must be very difficult.
It is really difficult. Would you like to join our selection committee?
No, thank you, but that's amazing that you do that.
Oh, man.
It's hard to decide sometimes.
It's really hard.
Is there like a runner-up prize? Does everybody get like a little something that is submitted?
No.
But maybe.
Unfortunately not.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's how we all feel every year. It's like, oh, we wish that might ease
some of the pain for you all. If there's like, here's our consolation prize. There can only be one winner, but you're all winners.
Just definitely thought. Something to mull over.
Yeah.
We got some time to work out those details.
Yeah, maybe we think about
it. Because they are all winners, right? I mean, ultimately, they absolutely deserve it.
But like one of our winning students one year, a few years ago, was from Oak Ridge High School. He was nominated by his drama or his music teacher. And it turned out that she had figured out that, I mean, he was always there showing up on time and staying late to do all these extracurricular things. But he was walking home at night. She found out that, you know, there was no one that could just, that's not even the most devastating one.
No.
That usually there's, you know, broken families, immigrants who are here with one parent or a grandparent now. It's just, it's incredible. And it goes back to what you were saying about how teachers are taking on so much more than just the job of being an educator and teaching.
The teachers know, I mean, they know these details and they're the ones who are sending them in, you know, and it speaks to them taking the effort to get to know their students, to know what their students are dealing with, to fill out the form and write up the situation, and, you know,
taking the time to
do
that,
and then they, and most of the time they, if they can, they come with them and they get to help them.
That's cool.
Be there with them at Grant a Wish and cheer them on and go through the store and help them pick up things.
The whole families come, the teachers, sometimes the principal. It is all of our team's favorite.
What a cool program. Yeah.
And there's always tears.
Oh, of course.
Always.
Yeah.
But, and then, you know, we have a sort of a lunch, but they get a 5-minute
shopping spree.
Yeah. It's awesome.
All right. Sorry about the interruption.
I was just thinking about a couple of volunteers that we have volunteers that live right in the neighborhood.
Oh yeah.
Some of our every week or multiple times a week. I know.
Nice. Betsy some Audubon Jack Park live, residents.
Yeah. Betsy and Jack live close by.
Mm-hmm.
You probably see them around. Do you know Tina and Craig?
Oh yes, absolutely.
And they live real close by. And they're close with Betsy and Jack 'cause they're neighbors.
Oh, nice.
And, Vicky lives, I don't know if Vicky lives in Audubon Park, but Vicky, who Jane mentioned, is doing our books.
We have so many helpers in this neighborhood.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And, well, and I mentioned Tina and Craig. Tina had been there with one of the corporate groups once. Okay. So I, you know, it was funny. I knew them from that red light, and then she was looking at, I think we still had masks on. So I think it was a while ago. So she was kind of looking at me, and I was looking at her, and then, Tina, teach. So it was really funny.
You're still easy to decipher even with a mask, I would imagine.
I guess so. Yeah. There's some red beard sticking at the bottom there.
And we often get mistaken for brothers too, since we have very similar looks. So
I think for a while we were wearing similar hats. And
that's true.
We weren't just mistaken for brothers, we were often mistaken for each other.
Yeah.
People would say Mike, or people would say teacher.
Yeah.
People would say, I saw you there, and I was like, wasn't there, but I think I know who was.
Yep. Absolutely. We were each other's doppelgangers. We
could have been.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
That's definitely true.
So I understand also Osceola County has a gift for teaching program. They're celebrating 20 years.
That's right. Most school districts have education foundations.
Mm.
And Orange County has one as well. When we had been operating, you know, in our first few years, Osceola County started going around and trying to see if they could get some of the community funders and partners to support their efforts to start something like a gift for teaching. And of course, funders, you know, they hate seeing duplication of nonprofits and people doing. So it was just, I think it sort of stemmed out of, especially the big community partners coming back and saying, well, we have employees that live in all three counties. I mean, a gift for teaching started out by saying any teacher from Seminole or Osceola County could come. So the Osceola County partnership was launched in 2004. So we are partners.
Mm-hmm.
They serve about 20% of teachers that are both in Orange and Osceola County.
Hmm.
They pay us a nominal fee on an annual basis, but what they get in return is they get 20% of all the donations that come in our that go to Osceola.
That's so very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So, because they don't have a facility like ours, and
sure,
you know, so everything comes through our warehouse, is processed by our team and our volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all earmarked for Osceola County students.
Very nice.
Yeah. So it's a much smaller school district than Orange, but the need is even higher in Osceola County.
Yeah, and it's another way to extend the reach and the help. I mean, when you have an organization that helps, it's hard to say no to anybody that needs anything that can help out, right?
Right.
And finding this specifically related to education, it has such an impact, such a successful thing. It's so tangible. It's so easy for anybody to get on board with this mission and wrap their head around what you're doing. And you're doing it just so well. I mean, 25 years, all of the milestones, and it just keeps growing and growing. And finding those strategic partnerships, the mentoring opportunities, how to get this in other places. And I'd imagine if there are other school systems outside of the state that get in touch with you, you would send them some things that would be helpful to get their program started, I would imagine.
Yeah, and we're doing that in a more intentional way because I would say probably a group of 12 to 15 of the more mature free stores around the country, we've sort of started a second offshoot. We're calling ourselves the Collective right now. It's kind of
nice. That's good.
Yeah,
little general. Maybe we'll come up with something catchier.
But. Yeah, we'll come up with something catchier. But we are, so for instance, apart from what Kids in Need Foundation is doing, we also have our own gatherings, and there are very often, as those of us who've been reached out to by different communities around the country. So Tej joined a gathering in Cincinnati a couple of years ago. And then we were in Nashville last October. We're going to be in Tulsa this October.
Wow.
But we're opening those opportunities up to, they don't have to be part of the Kids in Need Foundation network. We're sort of driving it and trying to help mentor these other places.
Really getting the word out, like going to them, right? That's wow. Yeah.
I remember when I was in Cincinnati, sorry to interrupt, but there was a woman, and I can't remember her name now, But I ended up eating dinner with her because we all had dinner together. And she was from Seattle. I had come all the way to Cincinnati from Seattle and had a brand new facility in Seattle.
Wow.
And so just, you know, we had dinner. She just happened to be sitting next to me and we just, she asked me questions about getting started. I, of course, wasn't there when we got started, but she happily shared anything I knew about what's worked for us. And
yeah, wow. And even making that connection, it's like she knows she could maybe reach out to you if she had, like,
of course,
and you have all this hands-on experience with the store itself and have the inner workings and interfacing with teachers. And I love, like, looking at your Instagram, you even, like, celebrate teachers and tell the stories, and because they are the rock stars, right?
Oh, yeah.
They mm-hmm. really are. And they all should be celebrated.
They are.
Yeah.
They're wonderful. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we have, I mean, some of our peers around the country or those starting up, they'll send people from their team to shadow teach, and our warehouse folks are, it's mostly the operations. They want to come and
sure.
really see and learn. And we have a very enviable space and situation.
Naturally. Yeah. That is a lot of space. And the fact that it's donated, the overhead, at least for that piece of it, is taken care of.
Yes. We're very, very, very fortunate.
Yeah.
And we've been able to use just how expansive our own warehouse is to help out other than just Osceola. We've become sort of a hub. And
yeah, we're a hub here for Florida, other Florida centers around cool. the state.
Can hold on to stuff for them until they have the space available. And
yeah, that's amazing.
We really want you to come and visit.
I know. Yeah. I was thinking about how I should have done that before this interview, well, but I will after this for sure.
Stephen Miller was out week before last.
My favorite photographer
in
town.
Oh my gosh.
He is such a talent.
He is awesome.
And he is an extraordinary human, isn't he?
Someone else I know through Red Light initially. I'm pretty sure I served him one of his first beers in a bar when he was a very young lad, to be honest.
He's an just unforgettable spirit, like just this fountain of positivity and enthusiasm. Yeah. And what a great human, Stephen Miller.
It was really fun having him there.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. He's already offered to, you know, just said, just keep letting us know what else you've got coming up.
He's such a help. Like, he's on the board of director for the Main Street organization. Yeah. That's how we became close. And yeah, I mean, he's just like, he's busy because he's such a great photographer, but then he always finds time to be a helpful person in the community. And like,
So we were at one of our planning meetings at Red Light with the awesome Red Light team. And Stephen was there at the bar. Mike introduces him to me and Angela and says, you know, they're going to be doing their big celebration here at Red Light. And maybe he's like, yeah, when is it? And it was just like, boom, he was in.
Puts it on his calendar.
Oh,
so he was at the bar hanging out?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? I didn't
during
realize
one of our
that.
Meetings.
Oh, that's really funny. Because I knew you had connected him to us, but I didn't realize it was just like the random.
He does a lot of his work at Red Light. It's like a great little, you know, set up at the bar, laptop, just like doing his thing.
Well,
loves that spot.
Let's talk about how Chef Jess has transformed.
Yes, please. Let's do
Red
that.
Light.
Yeah.
Oh,
everybody needs to go to Red Light and eat
definitely.
Multiple meals there.
Yeah.
Go to brunch on Sundays. It's about to be Saturday and Sunday.
Oh.
And
oh, nice. That's
great
news.
Well, we saw you on Easter Sunday.
Yes.
That was so good.
That was really good. I saw you on St. Patrick's Day.
That's right.
So, in case anyone didn't think Mike is just giving lip service.
Right.
He puts his money where his mouth is.
I sure do. I mean, that, like, what a great place to eat.
Yeah.
It's always been a great place to have beers or wines or they've got some NA options as well, some very nice ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find a better meal in town.
Oh my gosh.
What Jess does is exceptional. Yeah.
Always very, it's always very unique. It's, you're definitely getting something beyond just like the kind of bar or brewery food, a lot of which is great too. I mean, not knocking that at all, but just
that's true. Yeah.
Something with like a really special touch to it.
I just, you know, only wish I could have eaten every single thing that she made for our celebration. Yes. I got to try exactly. I think I got the last skewer that she was keeping aside for me with the scallops.
Uh-huh.
Which were so good.
those were honestly maybe the best scallops I'd ever had in my entire life.
I know.
Absolutely fantastic.
I know. And to just have that as like a passing plate, you know, just like and get these, like it's unreal.
I mean, our guests were just like,
they were blown away.
Awesome. Very memorable.
And many of, I think a lot of, you know, I'm sure there was a portion who were there at Red Light for the first time, but there were definitely people who had been to Red Light before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think it was their first, most people's first experience with Red Light's
and a
food
really,
edition. Yeah. And they were, and I was telling people, they're like, so this is just for tonight. I was like, no, she's a permanent fixture now. Yep. Like, come back, eat their food, have a meal here.
And she has this team of chefs. I mean, it's just such a talented group of people. She's just the wealth of knowledge and talent that she has and the passion for what she does. And she just uses the best ingredients she can find. She's often at the Monday Night Market at Stardust in Audubon Park to gather ingredients. Like, she's just really doing it. And it's so cool to see that.
Yeah.
And another person who I met through Red Light and had been a regular for a long time before she started working there, and definitely someone I provided some of her first beers in a bar.
Right.
When she was
all this history
before she could have imagined that she was working there.
All roads lead to Red Light.
Another related funny story. One of our board members, Chris Reed, at the, and I've known him for almost 3 years now. At the party, he goes, all this time, I knew you looked familiar, and I couldn't place where I knew you from. And seeing you here, it clicked.
That's so funny.
And you have served me so many beers. And so after all that, the context there, it was really fun, the connection.
That is so funny. Yep, going back to the roots.
Yep.
Yeah, I just thank you both for everything that you do. Please, you know, let us know if there's any way that we can help. I'm so happy and so excited to put this episode out and get the word out. For people that want to get involved, what do you recommend?
Well, first of all, thank you for saying the nice things you said about our website, because I'm so proud of it. And I think it is so easy for anyone who visits it to figure out exactly what they're looking for, because you can get information if you're a teacher about how do I get involved? If you want to volunteer, if you think your company might want to get involved, there's all that information on our website. But, you know, we're winding down the school year. So we're headed into Volunteer Appreciation Week next week. And then the first week of May is...
Week after next.
Oh, phew. Okay. Week after next.
Well, this will air this coming week, so that'll be timed just perfectly. Yeah.
And then the first, starting on the 4th of May, that will kick off Teacher Appreciation Week.
May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you.
And we were talking about Enemy Inc. They gave us some great Star Wars stuff that we've sort of been hanging on to. So we're going to have some special Star Wars things for teachers on May the 4th. And then I think it's the 6th, 7th, and 8th, the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday that we normally be open during Teacher Appreciation Week. We've got all kinds of great prizes. Teacher that comes in is going to walk away with some fun extras and some prizes. So,
wow.
Yeah.
And between the 4th and the week of celebration, we'll be at Park Ave CDs on the 5th of May, because Danny Bittman and his team, Park Ave CDs, we have been one of their community partners for years, where at least once a year they select either a gift for music or a gift for teaching to be the beneficiary of 10% of their sales on a specific day. We'll be out there talking to people who are wandering around and just Come see us.
Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo. Oh my gosh. Want to see what we look
like. I heard this guy looks like Mike. How much like Mike does he look?
Yeah, TJ and I are going to be taking turns going down a red light and manning stuff. Yeah. And then May 23rd, we have a new event that we're launching with our Gift for Music program with Garden Tiger, which is Jen Crotty's latest, greatest new. Well, it's not quite out there for prime time, but we're using that venue over on Alden Road, which is so cool. Wow. So
Jen Crotty of Porch Therapy and the Heavy.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're really excited about that. And then on June 6th, our great big backpack build. And, you know, a lot of times people say, what do you guys do all summer? Oh my God, there's just, it's hard. I mean, we'll be open again for teachers the first week of August or something. So, but there's opportunities. We do a lot around back to school. There's so many ways for people to get involved. So please just visit the website. You can reach out to Teej or me anytime.
Absolutely.
Cool. Yeah. Visit the website, click on the things, volunteer, get involved.
There's a menu right along the top. And how I can help or how you can help is a drop down, how to donate, how to volunteer. Mm-hmm. All the information you need is right there.
Yeah.
Perfect. Very easy. Well, Jane, Teej, thank you both so much. Again, just everything that you do and for taking the time to talk to me today. You are a gift to the community. You truly are.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Mike. This is really great. And we really appreciate you and how you just, you're so welcoming. And everyone here that we've worked with in Audubon Park is as well.
Audubon Park's lucky to have you, Mike.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Yes. It's symbiotic. You know, like as every successful relationship, there is just like this thing. We're all invested, right? And we all find the ways in which we can help, and it changes over time even. And we're here for it. So, yeah. Well, thank you. And we'll see you guys around the neighborhood.
Yes, sounds good. Will. Sounds good.
This episode is brought to you in part by the Audubon Park Community Market. Join us every Monday from 5 to 8 p.m., rain or shine, in the parking lot of Stardust Video and Coffee located at 1842 East Winter Park Road. This weekly gathering of makers, farmers, gardeners, fishmongers, ranchers, craftsmen, artisans, entrepreneurs, neighbors, and friends brings the very best of Central Florida to you every week. Our theme song is by Christopher Pierce. And special thanks to Trey Hester for all of his help in making this podcast a reality. We do hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please click subscribe and leave a review if you'd like. We'll see you next time.